of coming. It's always a joy to come back here to Berean. If I counted right, I think it will be 10 years ago this coming July that we left, going down to for a ministry opportunity that the Lord had given us in Georgia. And we were there for several years in Georgia as an assistant pastor, and then also as a fine arts director in a Christian school in Oakwood, Georgia, just outside of Gainesville. And the Lord then moved us after a couple of years in that ministry to work as the administrator of a Christian school and on pastoral staff in a church in Pekin, Illinois. Pekin is close to the Peoria area. And those of you familiar with Caterpillar here in town, I also know the international headquarters for Caterpillar is in Peoria, Illinois, and five, I think, now of their manufacturing sites, their factories are still there. But we live there, and I was the administrator of the Christian school, and then the Lord called us back into missions. And it's been about 3.5 years now that we've been in missions. And I've been here to present the work, so I'm not going to spend a long time talking about that. But just give you a brief update. Of course, as I mentioned in the message this morning, just like for everybody and every ministry, COVID this last year put quite a few changes in our plans. And I'm sure that you are familiar with missionaries who had their furlough plans canceled. Others had their furlough plans lengthened. Others who had just begun deputation now didn't have churches to go to raise their support. And veterans that travel, like me, didn't get to travel too much. Now, praise the Lord for technology that we have nowadays. We quickly learned how to use Zoom and Facebook and YouTube and some of those other tools to be able to continue to minister. I was able to do a missions conference with a Bible college down in South Texas. In fact, this was March of last year. I was packing. I was in the actual packing mode, getting ready to go to this conference when they called and said, Texas is shut down. We can't have our conference. But we are going to have it online in 2 weeks. Give us just 2 weeks, and we will send you instructions on how to participate. And I'm saying, I barely know how to turn on my computer and use Word and PowerPoint, and you're asking me to do something online now? Don't know. So I had a 2-week crash course in some of these things, and then was able to contribute to some missions conferences in Chile and Paraguay and some other countries, as well as some other churches. So we are still able to do that and do some other things in ministry. The Lord has been very gracious to our ministry. Every March we have what we call our Friends Weekend. And the Friends Weekend concludes with a Friends Dinner that we have, and several churches come together for a dinner, churches that support our ministry there in central Illinois. And in that dinner, we take an offering that goes to what we call our Hope and Future Fund. And the Hope Fund, or let me back up and say the future part of that is to help fund my international trips that are aimed at theological training. And a lot of what I do when I go to the field is I work with continuing education for our missionaries, helping missionaries set up Bible institutes and teaching in the Bible institutes that our missionaries have, and some other things like that. But the first part of that is what we call our Hope Fund. And our Hope Fund is used for different aid, humanitarian aid, in natural disasters. And the Lord has been very good, and we've been able to build up quite a fund there, considering how new we are, how young we are, how small we are right now in the United States. But we were able to, this last year, use about $6,000 in our Hope Fund and send that to various needs. COVID was a natural disaster around the world, a worldwide pandemic, and people were affected in all kinds of places. We sent some funds to a missionary that is a Chilean missionary with Adelphos that is ministering in Salem, Oregon, and working with a Hispanic outreach there. We were able to send funds to him, and through those funds, they were able to minister to people within their church and then minister to 26 other families in the Hispanic community there in Salem. And to this date, the missionary keeps me informed, to this date, five of those families have come to know the Lord as a result of the connection they were able to make through that humanitarian aid. We sent other funds down to our office in Chile to use as they see fit. And some of that went to Paraguay, where one of our churches in Paraguay was able to minister to 150 children that, because the schools were shut down, all of a sudden they didn't have a lunch program. And we were able to minister to them. And again, so far out of those 150 children that they were able to minister to, almost a dozen families have come to know the Lord through that. Many of you remember, I think it was about a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years now, that I was here with a deaf ministry of Mauricio Rojas. And we were able to, the office sent some funds to him. And of course, interesting case was Mauricio, when Chile shut down, he was stuck 4 hours away from Santiago, where his main congregation is. And their shutdown was complete. I mean, he was stuck there and he couldn't move. Even though his apartment was still in Santiago, his church was still in Santiago, he was 4 hours south of Santiago in a small town where his parents lived. And he was stuck there for 5 months and couldn't get back up. But he gave some contacts, and through that, we were able to, Adelphos was able to purchase some cell phones with cell phone plans, data cell phone plans, for some of the people in their deaf congregation so they could still participate through FaceTime. And he started doing messages through FaceTime, through Facebook, through YouTube, and all of that. And of course, everything in the sign language so that they would be able to still participate. And he's been able to continue on his ministry. And several other places in the Philippines, we were able to help our missionary in the Philippines. And just several different things. And the work of God has gone on. And it's amazing. It's amazing some of the things that have happened. And instead of actually being there, I've sat back and kind of watched God work and say, wow, you know, with this. In the Philippines, our missionary there works in a jungle village setting. I'm talking huts with thatched roofs kind of setting. I mean, when I visited in the Philippines, we had to go, we took the highway out of the city. Not Manila, this was on another island, so the city on that island was 25,000 people. That was the city on that island. We drove 2 hours north out of the city on a two-lane highway, turned off onto a dirt road, and we were a half an hour on that dirt road till that dirt road came to an end, and then we hiked another 45 minutes to get back into that village where this missionary works. And so I've been there, primitive, way back. But they do have electricity through electrification projects that U.S. military did at the end of World War II. There, they do have electricity. And they do have cell phones. So we can contact with, we can maintain contact with them through these cell phones. But what he shared with us is, They don't have the ability to do things like Zoom and other things, but they can text and message and stuff. But they, But he had to go, and what happened was, because they didn't do couldn't do virtual, what he did was on a Sunday, he would go from hut to hut, standing outside the door and preaching. So he preached, 10, 12, 14 sermons every Sunday, just from family to family to family. And what happened with him that he said was, it was amazing that after a couple of weeks, the people became so lonely. And again, they were shut down. Even in a rural jungle setting, they were shut down just like everybody else. But what happened was after a couple of weeks, some of the families that were very antagonistic to his ministry invited him to come and preach at their door because they just wanted to hear someone else's voice. And several families in that village have been saved because of that. God's work goes forward. God is at work even when we don't see it, as I mentioned this morning. And God works in some ways that we don't believe. And has done some marvelous, marvelous things in this time. Now, of course, we certainly would like to get back to our traveling. We certainly would like to get back to some of the plans that we have had and pray for that. We are very, very enthusiastic. We do have our first missionary couple going to the field. We accepted into service a couple that is from Eastern Washington State, and they are heading to the country of Paraguay to work with some of our Chilean missionaries down in Ciudad del Este in Paraguay. And so pray for them and continue to pray for our ministry. I have a few conferences scheduled here in the next couple of months, but of course everything is with that if we can do it, type of thing. So pray that the healing process continues in our country as far as COVID and some of those restrictions, and that we can get back into the ministry of visiting churches, visiting Bible colleges and their missions conferences, and then eventually the international travel that we would like to do. And so, again, thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray. If you don't have one of our prayer cards, we do have a miniature display back on the table back there. So pick up a prayer card, put your name on our prayer letter list, and we will get you onto that prayer letter list as well. And we appreciate any part that you can have in the ministry that we have with Adelphos USA. I do want to preach, though, so again, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And as a missionary, I am expected to study culture. Okay? When I believe you probably would agree, when the church here decides to take on a missionary and that missionary goes to the foreign field, we expect that missionary to study the language of that field. We expect that missionary to study the culture of the field. And we expect that missionary to, as much as possible, without compromising doctrine, without compromising Christian activity, we expect that missionary to become incorporated into that culture and to incorporate the culture into the church that he's planting. Again, without compromise of doctrine, without compromise of practice, that is clearly defined biblical practice. But again, we want that missionary to put the culture of that place into them. And so a missionary has to become a student of culture. Now, why do I say that? Because as you study cultures, cultures tend to break into opposing pairs, binary pairs in different things. And what I'm saying is here, and the point that I'm wanting to get to, is that there are cultures that are more individualistic in nature, and there are cultures that are more group oriented in nature. And I'm here to say that as a student of culture, American culture is very individualistic. We are very individual-centered. Me, me, me. I. Okay? And it's what I think, and it's what my opinion is, and it's what and what I want, and what I need. And you look at the advertising, and it's all based on individual needs and that type of thing. When you look at, and there's this individualism in our thinking. And sometimes that individualism creeps into our interpretation of Scripture as well. And there are places for individualistic thinking, okay? Salvation is a personal thing. A group can't get saved for everyone in the group. Salvation is an individual decision. Okay? There are things that I need to do by individual acts of faith on my own. But a couple of things that we often forget in America is there is also a corporate dimension. And Scripture, if you study the culture of the Hebrews, if you study the culture of the Old Testament and New Testament Jews, if you study the culture, the Greek culture, you study some of these other cultures in which the Bible was written, you will find that they were written in very group oriented cultures. And there's a lot of group orientation mentioned in these areas. And we often forget that dimension. The Bible mentions corporate confession several times. And that concept just kind of, wow, what is that? Corporate confession? What is that? Okay, and we wonder and we talk and we argue about, is this really even set for today when the Bible says confess your faults one to another? And we try to deal with, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Okay, so we reinterpret that to, if every one of you individually, and all of that. But another thing, another concept that we don't think about a lot is corporate faith. Corporate faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter for individualists. Okay, we could go down the list and look at by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, okay, and it goes back to Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Moses, by faith, Jacob, by faith, and we have individual after individual after individual, and we in our individual thinking love that kind of stuff, and we say, well, I can identify with Noah. I can identify with Abraham. I can identify with this person. I can identify with that person. And we love all of this, but notice in verses 29 and 30, which were read for us already, but again, I'm going to start reading in verse 29, and when I stop, please read the next word. By faith, they. Okay. Sorry for any school children who are here right now, and I know tomorrow is a break from school for most people, but they is a third person plural. Okay. It's talking about a group. It's talking about corporate. It's talking about a group together having faith. Okay, now, it's a little bit harder on verse 30 because it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Did the walls of Jericho have faith? No. But if you know the story, who had the faith to make the walls of Jericho fall down? Israel. A nation. A group of people. There is a body. There is corporate faith happening. Now this morning, we quoted from Habakkuk 2:4. A verse which is quoted, if we just turn back one page in your Bibles, to chapter 10. And the first part of verse 38 quotes the last part of Habakkuk 2:4. Read it with me here. Now the just shall live by faith. And that verse also, as I mentioned this morning, is repeated in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. Again, wow. Just think of the commentators, again, who said the truth contained in the last half of a little verse in an obscure minor prophet is so full of truth that it takes three New Testament books to unpack it. Romans unpacking the just. Galatians unpacking shall live. Hebrews unpacking by faith. The just shall live by faith. And again, I think that what this is doing is teaching us the just, not just in the sense of individuals, although that's important too, but the corporate group should live by faith as well. The corporate group. And of course, we know the corporate group that God has ordained to function in this day and age is the local church. The local church. And again, it's been a while since I've been at Berean as far as a member here. I don't know all the ins and outs and workings and everything. I'm glad to come back, glad to visit, glad to catch up. But in the next few moments, I just want to get us to think on the lessons from this particular passage in Hebrews. And I would like to challenge you and ask you to think, what does God have for Berean Baptist Church? And how can we get there by faith? How can we get there by faith? Because verse 29 says this again, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. I want to start out by saying corporate faith opens impossible pathways. Corporate faith opens impossible pathways. You know the story. At least I believe most of you would be familiar with the story. But just let's review some of the major points. Just a few days before was the Passover, that first original Passover. And God had commanded Israel to pack all their clothes, to pack everything, to get ready because you're going to the promised land. And as part of that, they had to have that first Passover meal, that first Seder, in which they killed the lamb, and the lamb's blood was spilled into a bowl. And then they had to take that bowl of blood, and with a hyssop, they had to put on the top post and on the side post of the doors of the house, they had to sprinkle the blood. And every house that had that blood on the doorway, when the death angel came, the death angel passed on by. But any house, Jewish or Egyptian, that did not have the blood, the firstborn in that home was killed. And the cry came up from Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh's will was broken. And he said, get out of here. In fact, we're so anxious to get you out of here. Here, take all of this. You need gold. You need silver. You need clothes. You need this. Just take it. Get out of here. And then a couple of days later, true to form, Pharaoh changed his mind. And the Israelites had marched toward the Red Sea. And they got to the Red Sea. And now the armies of Egypt were coming up behind them. And God threw up that pillar of cloud to protect them, that pillar of fire to protect them. But on one side, there's the pillar of fire, not a pleasant thing to try to pass through. And if you got through the pillar of fire, there was the Egyptian army, mightiest army in the world at the time. But on this side, where God, through Moses, had led us to, there's this sea. What are we going to do? Well, I believe that God has a path for us. God has a way that He wants us to go. And God has a way that He wants Berean Baptists to go. But sometimes God will allow people to crowd us from behind. And God Himself will present an obstacle in front of us to test our faith. The sea was made by God, correct? It was there in front of them. It was an obstacle, but it was an obstacle that God had placed in their God-given path to test their faith. And some of them failed because they said, "Oh, I wish we had just died back there rather than dying out here in the wilderness. Moses, you led us here to die in the wilderness." But some kept their faith. And God gave a plan and said, "Moses, step out on that rock, stretch your staff over the sea, and the sea will part." And the sea parted. And what does it say? It says they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. God not only performed a miracle, His miracle was complete. They didn't walk through mud. They walked as by dry land. God's miracle was complete. They had started faith, but again, this was not just the faith of Moses stretching out. "Yeah, God, what if I stretch that out and nothing happens? I look like a fool." So there was an act of faith on Moses' part. The people had to believe that this was a complete miracle. And the people, their corporate faith was getting out and walking through. Have you ever seen water pile up? I haven't. It rises, but it rises on its own level. Have you ever seen it part? And it's piled up on both. I don't know about you, but I don't like water. Okay, I like water enough to take a bath. I like water enough to take a shower. I like water enough to drink a bottle of water to stay hydrated. But I do not. You should have seen me a couple of years ago in the Amazon. All right, I wish I had a picture here to show you. Because somebody took a picture of me. And it's one of my wife's favorite pictures. Because we were in the city of Iquitos, which is on the Amazon River. And to get from one part of the city to another part of the city, the fastest route was in a canoe. Okay? How many of you have ever been in a canoe? Okay. Canoes do this, right? Okay. Now, the big boats that we went on the Amazon River, the big boats were stable, flat-bottomed. They had enough life preservers for everybody. And I felt okay in them. But that canoe was privately owned, looked like it was about as old as I was at the time. Thank you. And there were no life preservers. And I didn't know how deep the river got between point A and point B. And I've heard stories all my life about anacondas and piranhas and alligators and caiman and all of those. And I'm like, and the picture that someone took, someone stood up in the canoe and turned around and took a picture of me. Okay, so that scared me enough, someone standing up in the canoe. And I'm like this the whole time in this trip. I don't like water. I don't swim. I don't, you know, I avoid water. Okay? My ideal vacation is in the mountains where there's no water. I am not particularly fond of beaches, okay? Because I don't like water. And I would imagine that among the several million children of Israel, there were probably a few who didn't like water either and had never seen water like this with a dry path between it. And so they needed to have faith to step out and walk through. And they showed their faith by, as a nation, walking through that path with that water piled up on both sides of them. God had a path for them. God put an obstacle in their path, but as they took that first step of faith, God cleared that path for them, and then they had to continue by faith walking down that path. And they got to the other side, and the enemies tried to follow that path too, and what happened? The water collapsed. Pharaoh's armies drowned, lost in the sea. God's enemies tried to follow that same path and they couldn't because they didn't have faith. They had something else in mind, the defeat of God. And God wanted it known to the whole world that I am God. And he took care of that. Corporate faith opens impossible pathways. But one more verse. We only read two verses, and we'll, one more verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. God, corporate faith causes walls to tumble. God had a plan. God had a goal for Israel. What was that goal? There's the promised land. Conquer it. That was his plan. And they crossed the River Jordan. Again, a miracle. They had just witnessed a miracle. Crossing the River Jordan. And the first object, or the first city they came to was Jericho. And they looked at the walls. They said, Joshua, why did you lead us here to kill us? We know what God said, but look at those man-made obstacles. And sometimes, God will allow a man-made obstacle to come into our path to prove that he's greater than man if we'll follow him by faith. God had a plan, conquering the promised land. A man-made obstacle came up in front of them. And Joshua started thinking, what do I do now? And as he was out praying, again, you probably know the story, as he was out praying, he saw a soldier, a captain. And he came up to that captain and he said, whose side are you on? And he said, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm not... I'm not with Jericho. I'm not with you. I'm on the Lord's side. My question for you is, are you on the Lord's side too? The origin of that hymn, who is on the Lord's side? I'm not for you or for them. I'm on the Lord's side, and I hope you are too. And I want you to be on the Lord's side by faith. And I want you to notice it's a faith that perseveres. It's a faith that perseveres because it says, and you know the story, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That captain, that angel of the Lord that gave Joshua his battle plans, said, okay, once a day, every day for 7 days, I want you to walk around the city. And I'm sure there was probably some theologians in there that said, now wait a minute, Joshua, one of those days out of the seven is a Sabbath day, and we're supposed to rest on the Sabbath day. And there were probably some other people saying, well, why can't we get it over with all at once and just do seven times the first day? And there were probably all kinds of ideas, but Joshua said, no, what was laid out for me is once a day, every day, around the city, and on the seventh day, around the city seven times, and then we blow the trumpets. By the way, those first 6 days, absolute silence while we're marching, but now, and for the times on the first six times on the seventh day, absolute silence. On the last time around the city, blow the horns, beat on the drums, yell your brains out. We need to make noise. I never studied battle strategy, but that doesn't sound like a real effective battle strategy. Okay, especially for conquering a walled city. But they had to accept it by faith, and they had to persevere and follow instructions to the letter every day for a week. And then what happened? The walls fell down. A man-made obstacle to a God-given goal was removed in such a way that no one doubted that it was God that did it. I want to diverge just for a moment here. Do you remember the story of the building of the walls in the book of Nehemiah? I find it interesting that the walls were destroyed to Jericho here in such a way that they couldn't deny that it was God's work. What was the testimony of God's enemies at the end of the 52 days of building the wall in the book of Nehemiah? Even God's enemies had to recognize, this is the work of God. They, by faith, built those walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. Sword in one hand, trowel in the other hand, building the walls together, and God blessed it in such a way that even the enemies of God, when God works, He works in such a complete way that everybody recognizes this is God's doing. And I think I know you all, and unless things have changed drastically over the past 10 years, and I don't think so, I think that's the goal you have for this church, is for the work of God to be so powerful in Berean Baptist Church that people look and say, well, this wasn't the work of brother so-and-so or sister so, that everybody looks at the church and says, this is the work of God. This is the work of God. And that's corporate faith that perseveres. Corporate faith opens impossible pathways. Even when God puts the obstacle Himself into that pathway, corporate faith opens impossible but God-ordained pathways. Corporate faith removes man-made obstacles to God-given goals. It takes perseverance, but it takes corporate faith. Everybody in Israel had to participate in the marching. Everybody in Israel had to maintain that silence. Everybody on that seventh day had to scream their brains out. And God did the work. Do we, or maybe I should ask it in this context as a guest speaker, does Berean Baptist Church have that kind of corporate faith? Does God have a path for Berean Baptist Church? Oh yes. Oh yes. And it's thrilling every time I come back as a former member, thrilling to me to see how God is continuing to lead you down that path. But there's still path in front of us as long as the Lord tarries, and there's going to be some obstacles in that path. Does God have a goal? Not just a path, but does He have a goal? Oh, yes. And none of us will know what that goal is this side of eternity, but God has a goal. And man is going to try to throw up obstacles in that goal, in the path towards that goal. And so my question, my challenge, my encouragement for you, I am not standing in front saying I think none of you have. No. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes we all, myself included, need that reminder that we need to have faith both on a personal level and on a corporate level. And I'm encouraging you, have that kind of corporate faith that opens up impossible, impassable pathways. Have that kind of faith that perseveres over periods of time, that have that faith that obeys even when the orders don't make any sense. Have that faith that clears man-made obstacles to God-given goals. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. The just shall live by faith. And by faith, impossible things. Things that we won't even believe when they happen, as I talked about this morning, can happen for this church. And I still love you all. I still love this church. And I want that God-given goal. I want that God-given pathway. I want to rejoice with you as God helps you through every major hurdle. And I pray with you. Let's all have that faith, because the verse that we studied this morning, the key, the foundation to life, say it with me, the just shall live by faith. Lord, thank you for your word and for the challenge it is. Lord, help us all to have individual faith as Abel, as Abraham, as Noah. But Lord, help us, help Berean Baptist Church to have that corporate faith too, that will lead it and continue to lead it down the pathway that they have towards that goal that you have. And that faith would result in you working in such a way that everyone, even the enemies of God, recognize this is the work of God. Glorify yourself through Berean Baptist Church as the people express their corporate faith and their individual faith in you. We pray these things in your name and for your glory. Amen.